This is a download from the Scottish Railway Preservation Society.
Just putting some lights on the engine now. We've got two lights showing it's a passenger train.
This is Soundbox, a magazine for railway enthusiasts around the world, coming to you from Bowness in Scotland.
Welcome to Soundblast 14, the totally non-visual magazine of the Scottish Railway Preservation Society. I'm here in Bowness on a damp, drizzly, grey day with David, by the way, and we'll be looking at a big double event for the Society. First of all, there's news of the Peter Manstey Award. And secondly, there's news of the new shelter for historic vehicles. So first, we go to Derby, where Ian Smith of the Heritage Railway Association made the announcement in February of the Society's winning of the Peter Manstey Award.
We now come to HRA's highest award, the Peter Manstey Award for Excellence. For those of you who may not be familiar, Peter Manstey was one of our first chairmen for many, many years, who was absolutely famous for his dynamic management style and his famous words, press on to keep things going. You know, whenever you were with Peter Manstey, you always felt that you were going to get somewhere. In fact, also, Peter was one of those very rare people when you'd finish a talk, you'd finish this conversation with him, put the phone down or go away, and you think, hang on a minute, he's just told me off. You never realised it that he was doing it, but he really was a very special person, and we named our main award in his memory, the Peter Manstey Award for Excellence. We had an interesting time with this one. Bowness was a godforsaken, wretched, windy hovel of a place. And I remember way back in the early 80s going there from Falkirk on a vintage bus. Now I was happy because it was an industrial steam locomotive running the train. And now it's little Andrew Barclay with a diesel ejector going chug, chug, chug and a little six-wheel Caledonian brake van. And it was only about 100 yards of track at the time. And over the years, to see what they have achieved, it's just incredible. One of the tipping points was the DMU that you see, 228, the class 126 intercity DMU, the last one of its type. They spent years getting this thing absolutely 100% right. Okay, it's not a steam rail motor, but it's just as important in its own way. And of course, the big thing is that the SRPS are now Scotland's National Railway Museum. A very, very important achievement for them. And so I'd like to call upon the SRPS to come up and receive the Peter Manstey Award for Excellence, please.
Well, that was Ian Smith of the Heritage Railway Association. And the Scottish Railway Preservation Society chairman, John Evans, explained the significance of this award.
The Peter Manstey Award is the top award given by the Heritage Railway Association of the UK. In the past, it's been given to the St Pancras Station redevelopment and also to the construction of the new steam locomotive Tornado, so it really is one of the top awards. It has been given to SRPS, and my understanding is that it was unanimously awarded to SRPS by the Heritage Railway Committee on the basis of the huge amount of work that SRPS has done over the last 50 years in establishing a base for the preservation of Scottish railway history.
So who are the actual committee? Who are they? Where do they stand in railway preservation?
The Heritage Railway Association is the umbrella organisation for heritage railways in the UK, and the committee is a number of people from various walks of life, from the railway press, from the railway preservation industry, who get together and make this award. It's done on a casual, time-to-time basis. It's not always done every year.
So presumably they've taken the rest of the railways in Britain, the heritage railways in Britain, and compared us against them.
They have taken every part of railway preservation over the last year or so, whether it's individual items or whether it's individual railways or societies, and they have decided on this occasion, at this time, on the occasion of SRBS's 50th anniversary, that we have done such a good job, basically, that we deserve it.
We know that the SRPS has been here for 50 years, but what would be the one outstanding achievement you think that maybe tipped the balance in our favour?
I think the establishment of the Railway Museum here at Bowness, which is second only in size, in fact, to the National Railway Museum at York, and NRM itself see us as their partner in Scotland for railway preservation.
Now, the actual award is like a big dinner plate, isn't it? It's like it's cast iron almost, isn't it? So what are you going to do with it?
It's a large brass plaque which I had to carry all the way around England and Wales before I brought it back up here, and it weighs very heavy. We are going to find a suitable wall upon which to erect it.
Now, the other big day was in March when Fiona Hislop, the Scottish Culture Secretary, came to Bowness to open the new historic vehicles shelter. This is a very significant building for the SRPS to keep its vehicles away from the rain, which is so persistent here. And David, by the way, who else was there?
The main event today is the opening of the new historic display shelter by Fiona Hislop, the Scottish Culture Minister. She's been welcomed to the site by railway officials now. But a few days ago, while the finishing touches were still being done to the scheme, I joined project manager Ian Anderson. We joined up just outside the station, and he took me on a walk along the new path to the new display shelter.
So this really is the start of the new internal pathing that we've built as part of the display shelter, as part of the attempt to open up the railway ground to the public, who at the moment are limited because of certain safety reasons to the station. We're now walking past the...
Guys are still working there.
Yes, we're walking past the where the model railway is and the old Norwegian coaches.
Uh-huh.
Up past what's known as the head shunt, where the locos come off the train after their visit to Manuel and turn round the coaches.
Yeah, so passengers could come down here, or visitors could come down here and get quite close to the engines,
yeah,
maybe quite safely.
Yes, yeah, so we've now, that's why we've got the fencing up and we've got it as close to the line as possible. And they can now walk along here, which wasn't open up before. And they can also look over the yard to there's views of the calling stage and the water tower and various vehicles that we use.
Yeah, even today we can see, what can we see across there?
Yeah, so the sidings that we see here are usually used for a rail tour stock, where we go in the rail tours in the main line. At the moment the stock's away on loan to another railway. Mm-hmm. And in fact we have the Royal Scotsman coaches in, mm-hmm, just now. They come in once a year for refurbishment before the season starts.
Is that because there's nowhere else to put them?
Well, I think the railway gets paid to enable them to do that, mm-hmm, but they've also got to refurbish all their stock before they go out. It's a sort of Orient Express experience, and a bit more expensive than we can afford. But normally they will move off the station platform and go into where the rail tour, yeah, coaches are.
So we're walking further down, and I see lots of guys working here today, just getting things ready, are they?
Yes, normally we would be out in the line. We've been out in the line for the past few weeks getting that ready, and this is just a last tidy up before the shelter's opened later in the week. And
all these guys are volunteers, aren't they?
Everybody's a volunteer here. We have very few paid staff, and it's mainly in the office that they work. And we're just coming up to the end of the line. It runs approximately 8,200 metres from here to up to Manuel.
Uh-huh.
And if we get around the corner here, we've got some This is where we store some of our civils,
yeah,
materials.
So these wagons here, what are they?
They're full of the ballast. Civil engineering on the railway, they name their wagons, and you can see these are called dogfish. And it's hopper wagons which enable us to drop the ballast onto the line.
We tend to forget, don't we, that as well as being a tourist railway, the railway needs looking after quite extensively.
Yes, we have heavy civil engineering works. In fact, we had a special machine in last week which was tamping the line and tightening up the ballast for us. These machines usually do mainline work, so it was a bit of a change for the operators to be working in a railway like this. But we also use heavy road rail vehicles which can lift rails, and they can dig in and generally put in drainage or whatever onto the line.
Mm-hmm. Another squad working down here.
Yes, we're shifting some of the ballast that's been spread around the gate area here. But the intention is to use it for the back edging against the fence line there, just to tidy up the area.
Okay, so we come right to the far end of the yard, and now up this way, is it?
Yes, we go up this way. It was originally intended that there was going to be a huge development around the railway site, but that seems to have gone into abeyance now with the recession. But we've managed to get an extra 6 metres beyond the original boundary fence, which we're now walking up alongside. So this has given us a complete internal access road. And we've also got this new fencing right round the site, so it makes the site a bit more secure.
Yeah, I see signs there saying museum and station.
Station, yes. The museum's at a few hundred metres further round, but we're now walking past what's known as the carriage building and coming up against the new display shelter.
Now this is it, is it?
Yes. As you can see, it's not an enclosed building. It is more of a shelter, or as the engineers called it, a canopy.
Uh-huh.
The reasoning behind that is that we don't need the building to be completely weatherproof. In fact, in some respects, the fact that the air can go through it is probably better to keep any dampness down.
Mm-hmm.
But it will certainly provide a huge amount of shelter.
So just to explain things, we've used the walls from two other buildings, and there's a gap between two buildings, wasn't there?
Yeah, so there's a gap between the two buildings. The buildings were the carriage shed, which I'd mentioned, and what we call MMPD, or basically the diesel shed.
Mm-hmm.
The two buildings aren't actually parallel, and it was mooted that we could perhaps use the stanchions on the two sheds to enable our canopy to be built, but as it turned out, we could only use one side, and we've got a row of stanchions down the other. Fitting everything in was actually quite a problem. It was a desk exercise, but although there was four sidings here originally, there was no space between them. Mm-hmm. So we had to look at trying to get a sufficient width of walkway where people could actually see the vehicles, and also try and fit four sidings into a restricted space.
Quite a jigsaw, was it?
It was indeed. I spent many hours with a CAD-CAM system just doing desktop work to see if we could fit things in. And in actual fact, the public won't be able to see this, but originally in the middle of one of the sidings is a cross, a yellow cross, where one of the stanchions was going to go. So we did redesign it even after the tender had been let, because we did find a slightly better way of getting the tracks into the building.
So there's four roads, is there?
There's four roads.
And how many vehicles will be in here?
It will vary depending on the length of them. The diesel multiple unit and the electrical multiple unit, which are standing beside just now, are three carriages long.
Mm-hmm.
So in essence, the main part of the building will take 12 carriage length vehicles. There is an extension over two of the sidings, or maybe two and a half of the sidings, where we can get an extra few vehicles under cover.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And after the visitors have been to see this, then they can where can they go next?
Well, once they've wandered round, they can go up between two of the sidings, cross over at the top, and then come back down the other side. And we've got things like the Queen Margaret crane in here, the old steam crane, which unfortunately no longer works, and the diesel multiple unit that I'd spoken about.
So it's quite a treasure trove, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Some of the vehicles may not look much to the general public or the layman, but to the aficionados, it will be really something.
And what's your favourite vehicle in here?
I think possibly the crane. I still have the old childhood feeling of the crane, although I do remember these blue trains very well. Mm. I used to go to school at Charing Cross, and we took the train. In fact, there was one day when the first came on, we always stopped at Partick Hill Station, and we would jump off the steam train and go and get sweets at the kiosk. And, of course, the first day we were on the new blue trains, I jumped off, went to the kiosk, but instead of my friends being able to hold the carriage door open, the automatic door shut, so I had to sit there and wait for a following train.
So full of memories, eh?
Yes, it is. And I'm not the sort of person who can memorise all the details like a lot of my friends and colleagues, but... It's still something I enjoy, and I enjoy engineering and industrial archaeology.
And nice to see the stuff under a roof.
Yes, and you know, at least we know it's not deteriorating at the same rate as it would before.
It gives me great pleasure now to welcome Miss Fiona Hislop, the Scottish Parliamentary Minister for Culture, who is going to address us.
Thank you very much, John, Provis, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very pleased to be here at Bowness and Kinneil Railway today for the opening of the new museum vehicle display shed. Firstly, the Scottish Railway Preservation Society, which operates the railway here, was formed in 1961 with the aim of establishing a preserved railway in central Scotland on which to display its collection. And we can see today how successful that has been. And it's great to be back here in Bowness. Last time I was here, it was a Santa run, and it was snow, so it's great to come back here in the sunshine, and I look to joining you in the journey later on. Of course, the Bowness and Kinneil Railway, which began in 1979, has developed into a wonderful traditional railway setting. It attracts 60,000 people each year and makes an important contribution to Scotland's rich offering. Now, great credit must be given to the volunteers for all their hard work, and I know a number of you are here today. Over the years, it's been evident that new space was needed to fully protect and display your ever-growing collection. So the new shed will be a great asset to the museums and the footpaths, and have significantly improved access to the museum buildings. Now, the Scottish Government recognises the significance and the national importance of the collection, and that is why, through the recognition scheme administered by Museums Galleries Scotland, we awarded the £160,000 which was supported to the display shed project. But it was wonderful, as we've heard, that the remaining funds and indeed gift in kind and projects and volunteering was donated by members of the Scottish Railway Preservation Society itself. So give yourself a good round of applause, ladies and gentlemen. So earlier we witnessed the unveiling of the Peter Manisty Award, which was presented, and I congratulate you on receiving this prestigious award. Today I will also be unveiling the first ever national strategy for Scotland's museums and galleries. And to coincide with its launch, I have this morning reaffirmed the Scottish Government's commitment to the sector with the announcement of £3.3 million of grants for the next 3 years for the sector. And that's my vote of confidence in you, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, I hereby declare the new vehicle display shed open.
There was another ceremony that day to unveil a plaque to John Burney, one of the driving forces behind the Bowness and Kinneil Railway, who sadly died a few years ago. Here he is talking about one of his many projects at Bowness, the saving of the Haymarket train shed.
The Edinburgh and Glasgow Railway was the first main line to be built in Scotland, opened in 1842. The original terminus was at Edinburgh Haymarket, and the station was constructed in very typical style for those days, a large cast iron and wrought iron structure spanning the platform tracks. These buildings can be seen in many early lithographs of the railways and at the dawn of the railway era between 1840 and 1860. Very few such structures actually survived beyond the turn of the century. Most were knocked down and in station redevelopments which took place subsequently. Haymarket therefore was a remarkable survivor of the early era of the railway. It survived because the redeveloped line at Haymarket bypassed the structure in the course of tunnelling underneath Edinburgh to arrive at Waverley Station. By 1982, Haymarket original structure was entirely redundant, becoming dangerous, and BR were very keen to carry out a remodelling exercise at Haymarket. The SRPS moved in, and in a joint project with the entire cooperation of British Railways, dismantled carefully the structure at Haymarket, moved it by road to Bowness, and carefully re-erected it there.
It's with great pleasure that I welcome you here today for this short ceremony to recognise the work that John Burney did in his proceeding with his vision of creating here at Bowness the Scottish Railway Museum. It's been called the Scottish Railway Exhibition. You will notice we have changed the name this year to put the name Museum in it, which we feel will be much more representative of what we have and will be much better for visitors coming and expecting to see what they can see. We have not only the things that SRPS itself owns, but we also have here on loan from the National Railway Museum the Midland Compound and the Duke of Sutherland Saloon. And we have the Gordon Highlander from the Glasgow Museums there. So we have a good representation of all things Scottish in relation to railways. I think John would be very proud, if he would be able to be with us now, to see what we have achieved, and in particular the new shelter, which will enable a lot more of our historic vehicles to go undercover and be protected from the elements. But for this point here, we have with us Anne Burney and Jennifer, and I believe it's John, the latest addition, a young John there, to unveil a plaque in memory of John and all that he has established here in the museum for us. Anne, over to you.
Well, thank you all for coming. I know what John would have said if he were standing here, because he, like you, so much enjoyed the work he did here, and he liked to work in the background. But we as a family are very grateful for your decision to recognise John in this way. So, thank you very much.
The words on the plaque are quite simple. It says, John's dedication to the vision of a museum of Scottish railways laid the foundations for the historic collection now housed at Bowness.
And that pretty well wraps up this edition of Sound Blast. You can contact us online at www.srps.org.uk/soundblast, or lowercase. That's www.srps.org.uk/soundblast. Or you can write to us at Soundblast, two words this time with initial capitals, Soundblast, SRPS, Union Street, Bowness, West Lothian, EH519AQ, Scotland. Tireless roving reporter, editor and producer has been David Bytheway. And I'm Sandy Simpson, wishing you all that you wish yourself from everyone here at the Scottish Railway Preservation Society at Bowness in Scotland.